What's for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hello, everybody out there in podcast land. Hi, guys, it's Flip. Well, if you listen to the last little apology episode, I said, you know what, maybe I'll be bored and I want to do one by myself in Sarasota. Hey, guess what? I was bored and I decided to do one. Also, because today is a pretty, it's a pretty monumental day in the history of the world. This is December 21st, 2012. This is the day that everybody's saying, the Mayans predicted the world's going to end. Well, it is, 1 o'clock in the afternoon on December 21st, 2012 in Sarasota, Florida. And guess what? I'm still here. World didn't end. We're all fine. It's actually 1:25. Yeah, I should be wearing a watch. So, yeah, we're still here. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. People are so freaking paranoid. But you know what I think is going to happen? Excuse me. Sorry. Hope I didn't scare you there. Clear my throat. You know what I think is going to happen, people? I think this is just going to be what they call the shift. We've talked about it on the show. If you've listened to past episodes, Allison is very, very much into this, and I kind of like what she says about this. And I've done a little research of my own, and I kind of agree with it that this is the beginning of a time when we as a world will just realize that all this fighting and bullshit, I mean, it is stupid, and not that evil is going to be completely gone from this world, but I think this world is just going to be a better place to live in. Better place to live in. I don't know, it's a stupid hippie thought or whatever, but hell, why not? You know, why not have those beliefs? Why not believe that things will get better and violence will at least lessen out there? It's ironic that the word lessen can have two different meanings. It could mean to learn something of hopefully a good moral feel, and it also means to diminish. So maybe we learned our lesson about violence, and the violence will lessen. Just my two cents. But I'm not going to make this podcast all about that, all about the end of the world and violence, blah, 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 because there's too much talk of that now anyway. I mean, that's what this show's about. I honestly have nothing to talk about. Not a thing. This is all just stream of consciousness right now. And right now I'm actually in the, comedians call the comedy condo, even though this is more of a house, but I'm in the comedy house, the comedy condo for the McCurdy's Comedy Club, where I'm performing this week. Still have two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, one show Sunday. And usually what happens is, in a situation like this, there's another comedian staying here. Usually it would be the feature act, the second act. I'm the headliner this week. But this club has stopped, I guess, using features from out of town. They use basically a local guy to open, and then a couple local guys to do some guest spots, and then the headliner. So I essentially have this whole house to myself, which I don't like. I really don't. I like interacting with people. I like talking to somebody. It's nice, you know? And usually what would happen is Allison would be here with me, and, she'd be doing guest spots, and at least she'd be here. And, you know, I'd have someone to hang out with. Alas, she is still in Boca Raton, hanging out with her mom and her friends, which is fine. But it leaves me here to do a podcast by myself. Nah. I remember, God, it's funny too, because this is actually my 20th year doing comedy. December 13th this year marked to the day my 20th year for my first time on stage at an open mic. So 20 years I've been doing comedy. Time fucking flies, man. 20 years. And I remember just starting to do the road and staying in comedy condos with guys I've never met before and, you know, learning what it's like not just to be a comedian, but to be a man and to be on my own, to be independent. You know, that was a weird thing. It's like I'd live with my parents for, excuse me, I'd live with my parents for so long that when I finally started to do comedy and like kind of get out on the road, I really had to learn how to interact with people that weren't my friends from when I was a kid, you know, weren't family friends. These were comedians. They weren't even my peers yet. These were guys that I would look up to and try to get any kind of, what's the word? Like any kind of influence or learn anything from these guys, pay attention to these guys, listen to these guys. And it helped me become the man I am today, and I'm very grateful for that, you know. 20 years, man. 20 years. How many of you out there have had a job for 20 years, the same job, but absolutely loved the job? See, that's where I am right now. As much as I might bitch about certain things, I love this job. And yeah, sometimes the gigs don't come as fast and as frequently as I'd want them to, but they still come. And yeah, maybe I'm not, you know, at the top of the comedy ladder like a lot of my peers, but the ladder's not going anywhere and I'm still climbing. So that's the great thing about comedy too. It's never done. You're never done doing it. You're always learning. You're always growing. You know, it's funny. Last night, I walked into the club and the host, I knew that the regular host wasn't going to be there last night. So I walk in the green room. The host turned out to be one of my oldest friends in comedy, a comic named Tim Wilkins. Very funny guy. Look him up. And I met him about 18 years ago, one of the first times I ever left South Florida to do a show. It was in Port Charlotte, Florida, which is close to Sarasota where I am now. And Tim at the time, I think he was either featuring or headlining that show. It might have been featuring. I really don't remember. But it was at this little bar. Yeah, no, he was featuring. He was featuring. And it was at this little bar and in Port Charlotte called the Looney Bin. And I remember I walked in and I was with my dad. My dad drove up with me because I had never driven outside of South Florida. So I was excited and nervous. And my dad, God bless him, he was excited for me. And he said, yeah, let's go. And I remember we went up there and I had a really shitty show. It was really bad. And Tim was there. And Tim was, he was very nice. Very, very nice. And over the years, Tim and I, while I lived in Florida, Tim and I became pretty good friends and would see him all the time. And then I hadn't seen him in years. And then last night, there he is in the green room. It was a very nice surprise. At 22, when I was doing my act, you know, it was a really good show. Last night was a very good show, but I kept looking at Tim off to the side. I just wanted to make sure he was laughing. See, isn't that funny? Doesn't matter, like, how long I've been doing it or the accomplishments I've had, you know, I still want to make sure my peers that I respect like what I do. I think that's the ultimate compliment. Your peers like what you do. That means you're doing something right. And I remember that night, too, in Port Charlotte, because, like I said, I did not have a good show. And I was really, I was distraught about it. And I remember my dad and I, we got a hotel room that night. And I was, I had a girlfriend at the time, and I was missing her so much because young love is so important. And my my dad said, let's just say that again. I said to my dad, like, oh my God, this is so tough, Dad. I don't know if I could do this. And my dad said, son, this is what your life is going to be like. This is the life you're choosing for yourself. So you got to make sure right now this is what you want. This, you don't want to waste time. And I thought about it, and I realized that it's what I want to do, you know? And yeah, the road can get very lonely. Be very frustrating, especially now. I've got a wife. You know, and I'm lucky. Here's the lucky thing. Allison, I mean, not only is she amazing, and she completely understands and supports what I do, and I stress again, understands what I do, because she's a comic as well. But a lot of the time, she's on the road with me, and we're working together. And if she was here right now, this comedy condo would be a lot more fun. I'd be sharing it with my wife, aka my best friend. We'd be going out. We'd be exploring. Meanwhile, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. I'm still in my pajamas because I'm lazy right now. Also because, well, I had a very rough night of sleep. I won't get into details, but let's just say a chicken chipotle salad is not a good thing to have right before you go to bed. And we'll leave it at that. But, but yeah, it's a life that I chose, man. And like I said, I'm very happy, and I really can't complain, you know? Like, I don't know, maybe it's this December 21st thing is interesting because a lot of people believed for years that this would be the end of the world and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure a lot of the people who really believe that kind of started taking stock in their lives going, okay, the end of the world is going to be on the 21st. Have I done enough with my life? Have I done everything I wanted to do? Because if you really truly believe that, it was kind of, I don't want to say a blessing, but I don't know what the word would be, but it would be interesting because you would have the date that you were going to die. If you really believe the world was going to end today, you would have that date and you would say, okay, I have till the 21st before the world ends. Let me do everything I want to do, you know? And I hope if some people out there really believe that they took it for granted and really, really did a lot of things that they'd always wanted to do. Me, I never believed it. So, that's why today I'm just sitting around in my pajamas in Sarasota. But, but, yeah, so I guess today's just one of those days where I'm kind of taking stock of my own life right now, you know? Like, podcasts like this one, the episode that I'm doing right now, are kind of like time capsules for my own life. By the way, I really hope this sound comes out all right. The recorder I'm holding keeps moving back and forth. But I digress. Oh, how's that? Eh, whatever. So what else? What else I want to talk about? So for those of you who care, my movie that I did, 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, is coming out in less than a month. It is coming out January 15th, everybody. January 15th. Write that date down. 1513 is when that movie is coming out. And I am excited, and I'm nervous, and I'm excited. I'm excited twice, in case you didn't pick that up. Because this is the first feature-length film that I've done that I'm a lead in. I'm starring in this fucking thing. That's amazing. Amazing. I'm beyond excited about it. And, you know, even though initial, because there have been no, it's not out yet, so there can't be any reviews, but a lot of haters out there are just looking at the name of it and going, oh, this is going to be stupid. I could tell it's going to be stupid. Which, hey, you know what? If I just saw the title without ever seeing the film, I'd probably think, like, It's going to be another one of those. But I'm just asking you to please give it a chance before you judge. And the reason I bring that up is because last night, for shits and giggles, I was on Amazon just seeing if they had the video up there for pre-sales yet, which they do. If you go to Amazon, you can pre-order 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity. And there's already a review. Somebody had seen it, I guess. So I want to read this review to you. Okay? They reviewed it December 16th, so it was only a couple days ago. And it said, 5 stars. So good, stupid. There's a couple of words missing in the review, so I'm going to fill it in as I assume they would have meant. So I think they meant so good, or so good, stupid. Whatever. I have seen this, and the film is just ridiculous in a good way. Takes pot shots at all the serious, quote, characters from a number of films like Tattoo Girl, Lincoln, Dark Knight, the paranormal movies, as well as one of my favorites, Donald Trump. It's stupid like most mashups, but that's what makes it funny. As long as you don't take it seriously, it's not for film snobs, it's worth the price of admission. Isn't that nice? Very short review, but positive. Basically saying, it's so stupid, it's good. And that's fine. As long as you enjoy it. As long as you have fun watching it. Because we had a lot of fun making it. I'll tell you that right now. I'm very excited. And you know what's really cool too is my co-star in the movie, Catherine Fiore, is... Catherine Fiore, is one of the stars of the new TBS show, The Wedding Band. And that show's doing really well too. So hopefully... Her name and her panache will help make the movie an even more success. It will. I am predicting big things for this. I am putting it out there, people, that this film, it's not going to break box office records. It's, you know, it's not going to make billions of dollars, but here's what I'm picturing. It's going to have at least a 5 rating. On IMDb. I know that sounds kind of silly. Like, what do you care about IMDb? A lot of people look at that. And 5 for one of these straight-to-video spoof mashup movies would be really nice. It would be really, really nice. So I'm putting it out there. And I want you guys to help me, you know? Because, look, I'm just like anybody else in any kind of profession. I just want to do my best to succeed, to fulfill... to fulfill a dream, to fulfill this drive that I've had since I was 8 years old, to get to this level of success that would just be comfortable, you know? You guys out there, you know, maybe you don't want to be a comedian or an actor. Maybe you're a lawyer or an accountant or a teacher or a bus driver or whatever. But you want to be the top of your game, right? You want to have your peers look at you with, like, reverence and respect. You know, you want to have, you want your family to look at you going, yeah, no, he's the number one bus driver in town, or whatever it is you want to be. And yes, mine is a loftier goal, I'll admit that, but that drive is still the same within all of us. Like I said, I just want to fulfill that. I mean, it's been in me since I was 8 years old. And yes, I am a success in the fact that I'm a comedian, and that's all that I do. I'm a comedian and an actor, and that's all that I do. I make my living doing that. But I'm still hungry. I still want more. Because when I was a kid... I didn't just want to survive as a comedian. Damn it, I want to be successful. I want to be able to go to the improv and sell it out for a full week. You know, I want to be able to, I don't know, walk down the street and not be mobbed, but have enough people go, oh my God, that's Flip Schultz. Is that egocentric? Is that selfish? I don't know. Just being honest with you people. By the way, when I say you people, I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Because I don't even know who's listening to this. that was silly. So yeah, if you guys could just, you know, when the movie comes out, rent it, buy it. Good word of mouth. If you like it. Here's the other thing. As much as I love the support that you guys give, if you don't like the movie, you know what? Do me a favor, lie. Just say you do. Tell your friends it's good. Make sure they buy it. I'm such a dick. I'm sorry. No, if you don't like the movie, of course, you're welcome to your opinion. Just tell your friends that it was good, and then when they buy it, and they go, hey, what the fuck is this? You go, hey, I gotcha, but Flip got a little residual, so you helped out a guy. No, I don't know. I think people will like it. I mean, I won't lie. There's some stupid things in it. There's some stupid things where you're just going to go, oh, my God, really? But it's not stupid like bad. It's just stupid like, oh, my God, really? And then there's some really genuinely funny moments. And, oh, I'm just nervous. You know, it's like leading up to a countdown. But, see, part of me is like, oh, I just wish the day would get here so I could see the movie and start seeing what happens with it. But then this other part of me is going, enjoy the ride. Enjoy this part, too. This is the most exciting part of the roller coaster, isn't it? Most exciting part of the roller coaster aren't really the flips and turns and whines and speed. It's the anticipation. It's that little click, click, click up to the top of the first drop. That slow little click, that's when you get excited. That's when you're like, you're scared. You, pretty much what I am now. You're nervous, you're excited, you're scared, you're worried. So I got to remember to enjoy this. I was never really a big roller coaster. As a matter of fact, when I was a kid, I was scared shitless of them. To be honest, I still, not scared, I just, they... not too thrilled about them, but I have ridden some fun roller coasters. I actually have a good friend of mine, Michael, who got me to ride my first ones over in Busch Gardens in Tampa. Then I did a few in Universal City Walk, not Universal, what, no, Universal Studios, Islands of Adventure, that's what it is, over in Florida. Really fun park, by the way. And the last one I did was... I think in Disneyland, I did whatever that one in California Adventureland is. And I got really, hold on. Excuse me, yawning. I got really sick after the ride, so I don't think I'll be going on roller coasters anytime soon. Well, you know, I should never say never. Whatever. You gotta conquer your fears. You know, I mean, even though life, see, what's exciting to me about life is that, like, it doesn't seem, it always seemed that we had this time on Earth and that's all we have. But what I've come to kind of realize and believe is that we are unending. Our consciousness, our existence is forever. And the life that we're experiencing now, it's like a ride. It's a perfect example. This life is a ride. We are just, we're on it. And it doesn't last forever. And when we die, existence isn't over. The ride is over. And then we move on to the next ride. We take the experience we learned in this one and use it to the next one. And yeah, it's cliche and all that bullshit. Not bullshit, I mean cliche as far as like it's... what people have always said, like, oh, life is a ride, life is an illusion, life, you know, it doesn't matter, it's not real. Well, it's not. Like, all, you know, it's funny, all the stuff I was just talking about as far as, like, oh, I really want to, you know, get to this level of success and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, it's important to me only on this ride. But let's be honest, folks, when we die, we don't take any of that with us. I don't take money or accolades or, you know, acknowledgement from strangers with me. I take the experience I've had achieving it, and then the experience I've had with the people around me. I take that to the next ride. Those are the important things, the relationships that you make, the emotions that you create and experience. Those are the important things, you know? Don't get me wrong. Right now, money is good too. Because unfortunately, in this life, in order to survive, you need money. Plus you need food and you need shelter, you know? But that's all part of the ride. It's all part of the game, you know? But in the end, it doesn't mean dick. Because in the end, you go to the next ride, and who knows, maybe in the next level of existence, you don't have to get money. Your currency is fucking grass hula skirts, you know. And there are hula skirt millionaires and billionaires in the next level of existence, and there's politicians fighting. There, we have an economic shortage of hula skirts. All the big billionaires have all the coolest skirts. There are people homeless. Sure, they have gold-plated suits, but no hula skirts. They're living on the streets, people. We have got to raise hula skirts for the homeless. In case you're wondering, there was a picture of a girl in a grass hula skirt on the wall in this condo. That's pretty much where I got that image. Don't want you to think I've suddenly had this obsession with hula skirts. Although, how great are hula skirts? Seriously. I like them. If I was living in Hawaii, I was going to do a stupid joke, something about Honajuju, like Honolulu. Never mind. It's another joke. It's a silly joke that I do with Skippy Green. So what else? What else do I want to talk about? What else is on my mind? Not too much, really. It's I tell you, it's nice being here in Florida. You know what I've got to do, which has meant so much to me? My brother and his girlfriend have moved in together, which is so great. Because my brother, he was married before, has a beautiful little girl, my niece. And he and his wife, they didn't end up working out together, so they split up. And for a while, he was very, you know, he was sad, as any, you know, any person would be. And his girlfriend now, it warms my heart. And I truly understand what that phrase means, warms my heart to see them together, because she is wonderful and he is happy. And that's the amazing thing. And she has two little girls of her own. So now they're all living together, you know, and the girls, either her girls or my niece, my brother's daughter, you know, at times they're not living there because they're with the other parents, but they all get together and they all get along, and that's what's so great. And so the other last couple days before I came to Sarasota, I got to spend time with Darren, that's my brother, and his girlfriend, and her two girls, who are so sweet. They are so sweet and amazing. And I got to I read him a bedtime story. I've read bedtime stories sometimes, either to, you know, like goofing around with Allison or whatever, but I'd never actually read bedtime stories to kids. And it was actually a Jewish bedtime story, which is a little... I never had those read to me. I had Dr. Seuss, not, you know, Dr. Shavus or whatever. But I read this story to the girls, and it was fun because when I was younger, my dad would read me Dr. Seuss, and he would do the crazy voices and everything, which I hope if your mom or dad read you bedtime stories when you were younger, I really hope that they did, and I hope they had fun with it too because it's so great. And I was doing that for the girls, and they were giggling and laughing, and I was... It ignited this part of me that is kind of new, because I don't have kids. I want to have kids eventually. You know, Allison's younger than me, so she is not quite ready to do that. You know, and I, you know, I'm not going to push her towards it. I just don't want to be like fucking 45 going, all right, you're ready to start a family. So hopefully it'll be very soon, next couple of years. But reading the stories to the girls, just like I said, it ignited this little thing in me that I know is there and I know just wants to blossom. That father instinct, you know? And yeah, it was just reading a kid bedtime stories, but the fact that just that little action made me feel like that just shows me that I'm ready to be a daddy. Of course, I say that now on a pure emotional level, but logically, I know it's going to be a lot tougher than that, especially since a lot of my friends who are my age, their kids are fucked. They're already, you know, between, I don't know, 8 and 10 years old, some older. So I'm already starting late raising a family. And to do it on a comedian's salary, I know it's going to be tough. But I also know that it's going to help Allison and I grow together, grow closer together. And then it's going to definitely make me more of a man. But it's just been great spending, like I said, spending time with my brother and his little brood. I haven't seen my niece yet. That's the only part of me that's still a little empty, is my niece, my brother's actual daughter. When I was back in South Florida just now, she was with her mother, so I hadn't gotten to see her. But I'm going back this Sunday, and I'm going to be able to see her for the next 2 or 3 days after that, which is going to be so amazing. Oh, I can't wait. And that's what's been great, too, is seeing family while I'm down here, too. You know, it's weird. Like, Allison, and without going into detail, her family, she never really grew up close with her family because, among other reasons, she grew up in South Florida, coincidentally, like me. But her family all grew up and lived in, like, the Northeast, like in the Washington, Virginia, Maryland area. So she would see them occasionally. But she was never really that, like, very close with most of her cousins and her aunts and uncles, never really spent a lot of continuous time with them. And because of that, she never really had a true, true bond with them. You know, not that, you know, they don't, there's not, you know, love in the family. It's just not, it's almost that love, you're my family, I have to love you kind of thing. You know, I'm talking out of my ass right now. You know what I mean? There was just never that true bond. Whereas I grew up in South Florida, all of my family is in South Florida. And I mean, my three aunts and uncles are there. All of my cousins, all of my grandparents, we all grew up in South Florida. My immediate family literally grew up within a half hour of each other. So I would see my family all the time. And a few of my cousins were as close as brothers and sisters, you know, which is great. And my aunts and uncles, I love them like second parents. And I've had that, you know, and Allison, she never did. So now it's really nice that when she's down here, she gets to see, you know, my family too, and can be kind of have a family element down where she's living. And her mother, Allison's mother, is not only is she incredibly sweet, she's such a strong woman, because she raised a child by herself, you know, which is something that it's a lot tougher than anybody can imagine. And I'm only saying that because I imagine it's tougher, because I've never raised a child of my own. I don't even know what the hell I'm babbling about anymore, people. This is a weird What's for Dinner. This is just a complete stream of consciousness. It's a lot tougher when there's nobody to talk to, when it's just me babbling. Are you even still listening, people? I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I forget that people are listening to this too. This house is creepy, by the way. There's a last night, I'm not even kidding, one of the reasons I had real trouble sleeping, there were all these creepy noises last night, like bumps and bangs, and I was not gonna say I was scared, but it was keeping me on my toes for a little while. That's another thing about sucks about being alone in a house. Like, if I'm in a hotel room, it's a hotel room. You know, I've been in hotel rooms alone before. It's a little room. You know, you feel pretty safe. In a house, it's kind of a lot of rooms in a neighborhood that you're really not familiar with. Can be a little creepy. That's all I'm saying, folks. All right. I don't know what else to talk about. I really don't. Wish I had some funny stories to tell you guys. I have to have funny stories. Come on, Flip, you're a comedian. Let's think of something funny. All right, you want to hear funny? Let's think of something funny. All right, this is an idea I had. I wanted to try to make this a segment on the show. I'll tell you what. Since this is really, just me and you. Hey, it's me and you. Right, listeners? Just me and you. You tell me what you think. I'm going to pitch this to you as an idea for a bit on the show, and you tell me what you think. Because this podcast is going to be, it's immortalized. All podcasts are immortalized forever on the internet, unless one day, like the shell revolution, all the power in the world goes off and nobody can access this anymore. So I am going to make, so these shows are immortalized forever. So I'm going to start a new segment called Future News. And what that basically is a little segment where I come up with a news story that I assume will be happening in a 100 or so years so that this podcast is still relevant. All right. So how do you like the president now saying he's going to put a stop to all the illegal aliens coming in, not just from Mexico, but from Venus and from Jupiter and from Neptune? I'm sorry, as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm realizing maybe I should have written these out and really come up with some ideas before I just started pitching the idea to you guys, because that was kind of stupid. I also realized it's a little similar to that Conan O'Brien piece in the year 2000. So maybe I won't do that. I don't know, people. I don't know. I didn't get a lot of sleep. My brain is still kind of mushy. Nah, I'm not going to even make that excuse. I just didn't prepare. I just wanted to give you guys something nice. I wanted to give you guys a little insight, little piece of a lone Flipper right now. Alone in Sarasota. Ooh, Sarasota. 20 years. Sorry, that little thing just came back to my head. 20 years of doing comedy. 20 years, man. God, it goes by so fucking fast. That's cliche. I know that's cliche. But it really does. Like I remember earlier this year, I did a podcast by myself in El Paso, alone in El Paso. And I know I talked about like high school and it was my 20-year reunion and everything. But I guess when I'm alone, that's the idea, is the thought that's come to my mind is just how fast it all goes. You know, it's like I was a fucking 18-year-old yesterday. You know, I remember doing my first open mic. I remember heartbreak so bad. You know, it's weird. Okay. I have a couple of ex-girlfriends that did a big number on me. Unless you're one of those incredibly fortunate people who married their first love and you lived happily ever after, God bless you. You're rare. And I know that really does exist because I think I talked about this too, but I have a cousin, one of my younger cousins, who got a boyfriend in high school when I think he was 15 and she was 15 or something like that. And they're together to this day, married with a family, and they're happy, and God bless them. So I know that that does happen. But for the majority of people, we've had heartbreak. You know, maybe a few, maybe a lot. I'm kind of, I'm in the middle. But I've had a couple of real doozies. And one of my exes, actually my very first love and very first heartbreak, we're now friends now, you know. Matter of fact, she's actually engaged. So congratulations to her if she's listening. but there is an ex who was my other big heartbreak. So yeah, I guess I've had two really big heartbreak. Yeah, two really big heartbreak from girlfriends, but I've had heartbreaks from a few girls throughout my life, but only two true girlfriends, as in we were known as boyfriend and girlfriend. We dated. Those two girlfriends were really big heartbreaks. And this one, Jesus Christ, this one specific girl, I remember, people, and I'm opening up to you right now, I remember just pain. I'm talking pure pain. I am talking that gut-wrenching, like, you feel your heart break. Like, physically, it's empty. That part of your chest where your heart is feels empty. Like, literally. Not. I'm not doing, you know, poetic license or any figurative thing. I mean, I literally felt empty in my chest. I was the Grinch. And I remember years, not an exaggeration, people, years I would pine for this girl, and I would try to get away from her, and then I'd get sucked back into her world through an email or a phone call, and it was really bad. And I remember there were times when just the thought of her would give me longing and make me cry. That heartbreak is real, man. But is anybody listening out there who's going through this? Let me just tell you, I know what you're going through. I really do. But I am here as a living example to tell you that you get past it. Because right now I think about her. I feel nothing. I don't feel love. I don't feel hate. I don't feel anything. And I never, ever, ever thought that would happen, at least back then. I never thought there'd be a time that I wouldn't want to see her or I wouldn't want to talk to her or I wouldn't care if she never called me back. As a matter of fact, you know what I did? Because the last time I even heard from this girl was right around the time Allison and I got married, and it was only a text. And per her her modus operandi, or however you say, her MO, she said, okay, well, I'll call you tomorrow. And this girl was synonymous with never calling. Saying she would, it never would. Which, by the way, is the rudest thing in the world, people. Listen, if you say you're going to call somebody back, call them back. Especially if you give a timestamp to it. If you say, hey, I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes. To me, that means within 5 to 10 minutes, I'll hear from you. Hey, I'll call you back in an hour. To me, that means in an hour, maybe two, I'll hear from you. I'll call you later. Later means you have the whole day. Just sometime today, call me back. If you say I'll call you back tomorrow, whatever. You put a timestamp. If you say I'll call you right back, to me, that means something just happened. You got to go take care of something quickly and then call me back. And if you can't talk, just call me back to say, hey, sorry, I just want you to know this is taking longer than I thought. I really can't talk. I'll talk to you later. That's fine. That's respect. This girl had none of that. Oh, I'll call you right back 2 days later. Hey, you know, And when you're dating somebody or into somebody, oh my God, when there's a gap, when they're supposed to call you back and they don't, oh my God, you are just crazy because you're thinking of all these scenarios in your head. Oh my God, what is she doing? Is she fucking somebody else? Oh, she forgot about me. Oh my God, she's laughing about me. Oh my God, she just doesn't want to talk to me, doesn't want to be near me. And that's probably not the case. They're probably just got busy. But you know what? Have a little fucking respect. That's all I'm saying. So again, this girl's synonymous with that. And yeah, after the, like around the wedding, she texted me and went back and forth a couple of texts. And she said, yeah, I'll call you tomorrow. And she never did. And I never called her because I really didn't care. And then I haven't heard from her since. And that's been over about a year and a half now. So a couple of months ago, I was going through my phone and I came across her number and I'm like, you know what? Why do I even have her number in my phone? And I deleted it. And there was a time that I had the number memorized. To be honest, people, I couldn't tell you what it is. Honestly. And I love that. It's so freeing. It is so freeing to know that something that had such a hold on me. I mean, she really had a hold on me, people. This was a girl who just... she controlled me. And I don't think she did it 100% on purpose, but I know she knew what a hold she had on me, and she did abuse it sometimes. A couple of girls in my past have done that. If they're listening, because I know they did it on purpose, fuck off. I digress. So this specific girl. So I was in my car yesterday and I was listening to some music, and there's this song by Matthew Sweet. I don't know if you know who Matthew Sweet is. He was kind of big in the 90s. And I knew him specifically because he did a cover of that song, Girlfriend. Remember that song? Don't you need, don't you want to get back in the arms of a good friend? Because I need you. If I can find it, I might put it in the podcast right now. Unless I didn't find it, and that was just like a 3-second gap. So, but if I did find it, I hope you enjoyed it. So anyway, I was listening to that song, and I remember I'd gotten that CD when I was actually, where was I? I was somewhere in Florida. I was on the road at the time. Was I in Birmingham, Alabama? Oh, maybe. I was. Maybe might have been in Birmingham. I remember I was in at least North Florida somewhere. And I remember I got that CD. And that song, like oh, yes, I need a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend. And this girl at the time, I think we had broken up, but we were still in communication, mainly because I was a pussy and I just didn't, I couldn't bring myself to separate myself from her, which is the healthy thing to do. But at the time, you don't think healthy, you just think selfish, like, I just want it to work out again, please. So I remember I was talking to her around the time I got this CD and this song specifically. So I'm like, you know what? Let me see if she's on Facebook just to see what she's doing. Maybe I'll say hi or something. So I looked all over Facebook and I couldn't find her. And I remembered she was married. So I looked for her husband and I found him. I actually found him. But when I went to his page, not one picture of her. And I think what happened was they split up. And to be honest, and it's not my place to go into details, but before she and I were not communicating, she had confided in me something about there being trouble in paradise. And I guess that there was, because like I said, I found him and no picture of her whatsoever. The thing is, he, and I'd met him a few times, which if anybody's ever been in this situation, you know, can be awkward. When you meet an ex, especially an ex that you really, really had a connection to and really thought you truly loved when they moved on. Oh, and you haven't. Oh, that's the worst feeling in the world. But at the time when I met him, I was pretty over her. Yeah, pretty over her. I think actually meeting him was kind of like that last nail in the coffin. Like I went, all right, it's over. She's moved on. You know, you've already pretty much moved on, but this is it. And I met and I hung out with him a couple times. And you know what? He's a really nice guy. Really sweet guy who really loved her. And knowing now that they're not together, I feel bad for the guy because I'm sure it was pretty much her fault.
And, sorry, I'm stretching.
And I don't really know what the point of this was. I guess it's just a cathartic thing to see that this girl who... Did you ever see High Fidelity? Did you ever see that movie High Fidelity with John Cusack? Go see it. It's a really great movie. And there's, well, I don't want to ruin... If you haven't seen the movie, skip over the next minute or so. If you don't want any spoilers. If you have seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. Basically, without giving too much away, John Cusack plays a guy who the movie opens where he and his girl are splitting up. She's moving out. And over the course of the movie, he explains that he's had like five really true loves that were like really true heartbreaks. And he, you know, you see what each story was. You see flashbacks to the relationships. And one of them was played by, oh my God, what's her name? Catherine Zeta-Jones. And she plays this girl that he met when he was in college, who he remembered as being like this beautiful girl. She was beautiful, and she was smart, and she was cool, and she was hot, and da-da-da-da-da. And then, obviously, they broke up. And he, and she left him for another guy. And there's this really, really powerful moment where he's walking alone in the rain after he just found out she was with a guy, and he just is trying to light a cigarette. And then he just screams. He just falls to the street and just screams in this agonizing frustration, pain. And I had that scream. I know that pain. I remember watching this movie, and this was around the time that me and this girl were just, we're breaking up, and I was like, I was in that longing and missing phase, and I knew she was with another guy, and it was killing me, I mean, killing me. And then, in the movie, he decides to reconnect with these girls just to find out what went wrong, why is this always happening to him. And he meets up with the Catherine Zeta-Jones character, and he realizes that she wasn't what he remembered. That for some reason, he had built her up in his memory to be this end-all, be-all, perfect girl. And when he sees her in the present, he realizes it was wrong. He was wrong. And I think that's what kind of happened to me. Like, at the time, and for a long time after that, I saw this girl as the end-all, be-all. You know, the most beautiful, coolest, well-put-together girl. And then later on, when that emotional connection, that longing wasn't really there anymore, and I was just talking to her, and I really realized that she was not a good person. And that I definitely deserved somebody better. And fuck, did I find her in Allison. But it was that same kind of just like, wow, that was her. That was the girl. Like I still have a couple of pictures from times that we were dating. And I sometimes look at those pictures, well, actually not even recently, but I know those pictures are there. And I remember the last time I kind of looked at them, she was like a stranger. She's like, oh yeah, that's her. That's the girl. That's the girl that I was crazy in love with. Just goes to show, people. Just goes to show that time has a way of healing, putting everything in perspective. Well, folks, I think I'm gonna call it a day with that nice little story of a. I don't know if it's redemption, but nice little story about how things just have a way of working out for themselves. And again, if there's anybody listening to this who's going through something like that, I promise you it does get better. It does get easier. And soon, in time, you're going to meet the right one. Well, folks, thanks again for listening. Obviously, there's no Skippy Green Show, because what am I going to ask myself? Sorry, I didn't mean to spoil it, in case you didn't know. Skippy Green is me. But I hope you guys all survived December 21st, 2012. And if you are in the Sarasota area, hey, come on down. Check out a show. Again, two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow, one show Sunday, McCurdy's Comedy Club. If you go to McCurdy'sComedy.com, tell you what, call them. Go to the website, get the phone number, call them. Tell them you heard about the show right on the podcast. And guess what? You get 2-for-1 tickets. That's not even a joke. That's my gift to you for surviving. You get, ow, bang my hand on the door. You get 2-for-1 tickets. So just call the club. Say that you're next week, the December 27th through the 29th. Hey, guess who's going to be at the Punchline in Atlanta? That's right, me. And not only me, Allison's going to be there too. She's going to be doing some spots on the shows too. So come on down to the Punchline in Atlanta. And you know what? I haven't talked to them yet about any ticket deals, but I think we'll be okay if you call them and say, hey, you heard about the show on Flip Schultz's podcast. He said that I can get 2-for-1 admissions. I think that should be all right. Unless I start getting phone calls from the club going, what the fuck did you say? But I usually they're okay with doing that kind of thing. So call Atlanta. Either way, come to the show in Atlanta. See me and Allison. And if you happen to be in Miami on New Year's and you want a real treat, Skippy Green will be headlining at Tootsie's Strip Club Cabaret. It's actually Tootsie's Cabaret, but it is a gentleman's club in Miami for the Rated X comedy show. And yes, Skippy Green is headlining the show. It's also a comedy competition. And guess who's in the competition? That's right, Allison Weber. So you could spend New Year's with Skippy Green and Allison at Tootsie's Cabaret in Miami. Hey, I could think of worse ways to spend New Year's, people. And please don't forget, January 15th, please go buy my movie, 30 Nights of Paranormal Activity with the Devil Inside the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. There is a, if you go to my website, flipisfunny.com, there's a link right up there where you can pre-order the movie. You could see the trailer. Well, you see me for one split second, but I am there. And yes, please do buy or rent or download the movie, because not only do I know you'll enjoy it, but hey, you know what? I get a little residual for that. Not a lot, but a little. So you can help me prepare for the family that I'm going to be starting in a couple of years. And I hope you guys enjoyed this this Alone in Sarasota podcast. It was kind of all over the place as far as subject matter. But I do appreciate you guys listening to this, and like I said on the little apology one, oh my god, and that's the big thing. Holy shit, this is episode 40, people. I can't believe I didn't even realize that till right now at the end. This is the 40th fucking episode. Holy shit. Wow, 40th episode. Do you believe that, people? Started the show January of this year. 40th episode, right around the end of the year. That's pretty damn good. And you know what, people? I thank every one of you. Thank you all. Whether this is the first time you're listening to it, or you've listened to all 40, thank you. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Because if I didn't, trust me, I'm doing this a little for myself, because it's fun. But if people weren't listening, if I wasn't getting any kind of feedback, I probably wouldn't be doing this. So I thank you guys. Thank you to those who also write in. And I know I mentioned this last time, but thank you to Graham, who made a nice donation and bought a CD, or excuse me, bought a DVD from me off the website and donated a little money specifically to the show. Thank you, Graham. Thank you to everybody who writes in and who comes to the show and says that they've heard it on the podcast, including a listener, and I forgot his name, but he came up and saw me at a show at the Comedy Cave in Calgary a couple of months ago, talking about how he agreed with me how the comedy roasts aren't funny anymore. So thank you to everybody who writes in, comes to the show. 40 episodes. Fuck yeah, people. We're ending on a high note. Hey, here's to 2013 and 40 more. And speaking of 2013, remember that this show, oh, fingers crossed, is going to be going to the GoCast Network live on the GoCast Network starting, I want to say, at the end of January. More details to come as soon as I get them. I'm not going to make any promises anymore because I did that like 3 times and the show never moved over because something always happened. So all I'm going to say is keep listening, because when the show moves over there, it'll be a definite thing next time when I give you a definite date. But again, I feel good now ending on such a positive note. 40 episodes. I love you guys. I love you all. Have a great week. And hopefully there will be a new podcast with somebody else that I could talk to next week. And if for whatever reason there isn't, because of time constraints or whatever, I want to wish you guys a very Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. To my Jewish brothers and sisters, I hope you had a wonderful Hanukkah. And to my friends out there who celebrate Kwanzaa, hope you had a quiet Kwanzaa. I don't know. I will talk to you guys later. I love y'all. Bye-bye. Talking about what's ever on their mind.